Oya. Hare Krishna. Today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, chapter entitled Deliverance of the Yamalarjuna Trees, Text 17. Haridrasyaiva yujyante sadhava samadarshina sadbhikshinoti tam tarsham tata arad vishuddhyati. Saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty stricken man, by association with saintly persons, very soon becomes uninterested in material desires, and the dirty things within the core of his heart are cleansed away. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said, Mahad Vichalanam Naranam Grihinam Dina Chetasam, Bhagavatam 10.8.4. The only business of a saintly person or sannyasi, a person in the renounced order, is to preach Krishna consciousness. Sadhus, saintly persons, want to preach to both the poor and the rich. But the poor take more advantage of the sadhu's preaching than the rich do. A poor man receives sadhus very quickly, offers them obeisances, and tries to take advantage of their presence. Whereas a rich man keeps a big greyhound dog at his door so that no one can enter his house. He posts a sign saying, "Beware of dog," and avoids the association of saintly persons. Whereas a poor man keeps his door open for them and thus benefits by their association more than a rich man does. Because Narad Muni in his previous life was a poverty-stricken son of a maidservant, he got the association of saintly persons and later became the exalted Narad Muni. This was his actual experience. Therefore, he is now comparing the position of a poor man with that of a rich man. Satam prasango bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha tajoshanada shapavarga vartmani shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Bhagavatam 3:25-25. If one gets the advantage of association with saintly persons, by their instructions, one becomes more and more purified of material desires. Krishna bahirmukh hai bhoga vancha kare, nikatastha maya tare japatiya dhare. From the prema vivartha. Material life means that one forgets Krishna and that one increases in one's desires for sense gratification. But if one receives the advantage of instructions from saintly persons and forgets the importance of material desires, one is automatically purified. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Shishtashtak 1. Unless the core of a materialistic person's heart is purified, he cannot get rid of the pangs of bhava mahadavagni, the blazing fire of material existence. Saintly persons may freely associate with those who are poverty stricken, but not with those who are rich. A poverty stricken man, by association with saintly persons, very soon becomes uninterested in material desires, and the dirty things within the core of his heart are cleansed away. Hare Krishna. So grateful for this opportunity, begging for the blessings of all the devotees. Actually, I was thinking that maybe the ex-BT batch came a little, you know, on a wrong day. Maybe you should have waited at the train station till 9:15, till the class got over. So I'm sorry to disappoint you by sitting here. So in the 1970s, when Mrs. Indira Gandhi was a prime minister and there was a general election in the country, and the prediction was there is a big chance that she might lose the election. So therefore, at that time, the Congress Party, in fact, it was apparently Indira Gandhi's own brainchild, she coined her slogan, Garibi Hatao. This was like a very famous slogan, Garibi Hatao, Garibi Hatao. Like, what they were trying to say is that there are so many problems in this country, and actually the main problem is this Garibi or poverty. So if we eliminate poverty, somehow or the other, if we can eliminate poverty, then we can, the whole problems of the country can be solved. So she, that was the slogan used in that election, and the Congress Party got a landslide victory. So in other words, what this means is that the political leadership says that poverty is a bad thing. The general mass of people, because they have won the election, the mass of the people have elected the government. So the political leadership thinks poverty is bad. The general mass of the people think poverty is bad. And the scholars and the academicians think poverty is bad. Even today, if you take any economics textbook of, you know, undergraduate study, you will find all among the problems plaguing India today, poverty apparently is a big problem. So the political leadership, the general mass of people, the scholars, the academicians, everybody is saying that poverty is a big problem. And here Srila Prabhupada, in his uncanny style, is saying that actually poverty is not so bad actually after all. It is a very good thing. Poverty, like we've been hearing, purport after purport after purport, acharyas as well as Prabhupada are emphatically saying that a rich man, if he is not careful, then he can become very proud, and due to his false ego, he can miss the essential message of Krishna consciousness. Whereas the poor man, because of his poverty, will be very open to open up his heart to accept this message. But there is an irony to this entire story. I was just checking some statistics for preparing the class, and for those who think India is an economic superpower, I have some news for you, disappointing news for you. Even today, the June 28th, 2012, there are at least 30 crore Indians who are not even earning rupees 30 per day. 30 crore Indians. That is the kind of deplorable condition of our country on a mundane point of view. 30 crore Indians who are not even earning 30 rupees. So that is the situation of the poverty in our country. So Prabhupada tried to preach in India for 40 years. Now, if we read the purports, this series of purports, then we find that how a poverty-stricken man, he, because of his poverty, because of his problems, he opens up his heart and he's ready to accept the message of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada, he spent 40 years here, but what was the result of the preaching? If you just look at it from a very, very kind of an external point of view, what is the result of his preaching to the poverty-stricken Indians? One disciple, a few books distributed here and there, and tons of discouragement. Discouragement not only from the poverty-stricken Indians, but even from other sincerely practicing Gaudiya Vaishnavas. That is the only thing he received. So on one hand, and what did he do? So he leaves the preaching to the poverty-stricken Indians, and then goes to the West, to the most materially opulent country. Of course, we might argue that he actually went to the West because it was the order of his spiritual master granted. Yes, that's true. But since we are looking at it from this point, this angle, I want to present it from this angle. He left this poverty-stricken place and went to the most materially opulent place. Apparently, the rich people are not ready to accept his message, accept the message of a sadhu, not his message. That's what all these purports are saying. But still we find how, when Prabhupada preached there, it was such an unprecedented success that never before in any kind of spiritual history or never again in future will such a success happen. That is the kind of success he got. So how is it like a poverty-stricken man is not accepting his message in India and an extremely materially opulent, materially successful, fulfilled person, persons rather in plural, are accepting his message happily, transforming their lives, and even 40 to 50 years later are helping and transforming others' lives. That shows that spiritual life is actually, not only spiritual life, the dynamics of life is never black and white. Especially the dynamics of spiritual life. We cannot just take the statements of the sadhu as black and white and try to apply them, otherwise we might lose a big opportunity to transform people's hearts. And transformation of people's hearts means they should find whatever we are saying to be relevant. Just like Prabhupada, we might say, Prabhupada is a pure devotee and he is just interested in Krishna. But this simple statement here about the dogs, about how people keep the dogs and they have a sign, beware of dog, that shows how Prabhupada, he is noticing everything. He is noticing all the cultural aspects of the country, and based on their culture, he is ready to preach. So our preaching should always be very relevant. Just like Prabhupada gives the story of this Christian missionary actually, who was trying to give the message of the Lord to a group of coal miners. And he was trying to instill in them a kind of urgency to take up the message of the Lord. So he was explaining to them that, look, if you don't surrender to the Lord, then you will have to go to hell. So they just looked at him blankly. Hell? What is hell? I don't know. Sir, what is hell? Can you describe? So he says, okay, hell is a place, let me see now, hell is a place where it's very dark. No difference, because that's where they're working day in and day out in the dark coal mines. Nothing happened. So he saw it's not changing. So he said, okay, what about this? Hell is a place where it's very, very hot. So still, hot. It's a hot place. Hell is always hot. Then he said, I'm not registering. My preaching is not relevant. I'm not connecting. So then he says, okay, hell is a place where there is no Facebook. So when he hears this, all the coal miners get very upset. Oh, there is no Facebook. Oh, there is no things like that. So let me just surrender. So that's why our preaching, we should try to make it relevant and try to make the connection with the audience. And especially when these purports are talking about poverty, another way to look at it is the poverty of the heart. And unless and until a person really feels, no matter how much materially opulent he is, no matter how many facilities he's got, unless and until he's got that, he feels that urgent need to take up Krishna consciousness, feeling that if I don't get this Krishna consciousness, then my life is not worth living. Unless and until to our audience we are able to present that it is of utmost urgency to try to see what is a poverty line of your heart, and if you're below the poverty line, we try to show them how much you need Krishna consciousness, people will not take up to Krishna consciousness. So just like this preaching to the rich man is concerned, so our movement is being spearheaded by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself showed in his dealings with King Prataparudra how one can actually make a rich man feel the need to take more and more shelter of the Lord. So these incidents happened around 500 years ago. Actually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in South India. So during that time, one night, Prataparudra Maharaj, who was the king of Orissa, he was taking rest. And before that, once he had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in Kirtan, and he was seeing that the Lord's body was covered with dust. And at a certain point of time, he saw how saliva was just coming out of his mouth, and slowly but surely, the whole body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was covered with dust and saliva. So when Prataparudra Maharaj saw this, he was kind of confused, saying, "What is this? These kind of symptoms I've never seen. What should I make of this?" He was very confused, very bewildered. So that night when he went to take rest, he saw Lord Jagannath, his worshipable Ishtadev. And he saw that saliva was coming out of the mouth of Jagannath, and Jagannath's body was covered with dust. And soon the saliva and the dust covered Jagannath's body. So Prataparudra Maharaj got very disturbed. He went forward, tried to do something for Lord Jagannath. But Jagannath said, "Hey Prataparudra, you are a Maharaj, you are the emperor. You want to touch me? Just see, I'm so dirty. Saliva is coming out from my mouth. Are you sure you want to touch me?" And then right before Prataparudra Maharaj's eyes, in the dream, or in the vision we can say, Jagannath changed into Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's form. Thus indicating, and Mahaprabhu was sitting on the throne, thus very clearly indicating to Prataparudra Maharaj that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Jagannath. Even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya later on confirmed to Prataparudra Maharaj that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he has come just to deliver the entire world through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So then Prataparudra Maharaj became extremely eager to see the Lord. He said, "Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, please, can I take darshan? Can I have at least darshan once? Can I have a meeting with him?" Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew Mahaprabhu's standards and said, "I'm not really sure, but I'll try my best." So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him, "This king of ours, King Prataparudra, is a very nice person, nice devotee. It's like a Rajarishi. He wants to take your darshan. Can we arrange a meeting with you, please, for him?" And Mahaprabhu became very upset. He said, "What are you saying, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? Meeting with the king? It is better to die rather than die by drinking poison. It is a situation which is worse than death. Because by drinking poison, we just destroy this body. But by associating with a materialistic person like the king, we are jeopardizing our future spiritual progress. And everyone will criticize even the slightest fault that they see in a person of the renounced order. So no, I will not meet him." And Mahaprabhu said, "If you press me, then I will just leave Jagannath Puri." So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became really scared. He didn't want to push further for obvious reasons. So he went and told Prataparudra, gave Prataparudra Maharaj the report, saying, "Maharaj, this is what Mahaprabhu is saying." Prataparudra Maharaj was understandably crushed. He said, "What is the use of all my wealth, my kingdom, my opulence, if the Lord is not going to give me his darshan? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Patita Pavan. He has come here to deliver everybody. He has even come here to deliver Jagai and Madhai. So then why is he not? Has he decided that he will deliver all conditioned souls on the planet except for this lowly Prataparudra? I'll just give up my kingdom and just become a mendicant. In fact, if even that is not enough, that I am willing to even give up my life if I don't get the darshan of the Lord. So when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya saw this, he was very, very happy. He said, Pratap Rudra, this Dhridavrata that you have, that is very, very pleasing to my heart. And this will ensure that you get the association of Mahaprabhu in the near future. So Prabhupada explains that whenever we are practicing Krishna consciousness, this determination is of extreme importance. Unless and until we are determined, generally speaking, when we come to Krishna consciousness in the early years, early days, we like the kirtan, we like dancing, everything we like, and we are very eager to get the mercy. But over the period of time, when we see that the Lord is not exactly reciprocating in the way we want, when we find that material nature is really going for it, in our case, we become very complacent and our determination goes down. But if Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, if we trust him, if we have faith in him, he says that if you keep the determination, then the day is not far, then no matter what problems you are faced with right now, we will definitely get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when the king hears this, he's very happy. Then after some time, after this, shortly after this, Pratap Rudra Maharaj, he was actually staying in a different place out of Jagannath Puri. But when Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he met Ramananda Rai near the banks of the Godavari in Vidyanagar. And Ramananda Rai was told by the Lord that you just give up all this bureaucracy. Why you're engaged in all this? Just come to Puri, stay with me. I want your association forever. So when Ramananda Rai went and told Pratap Rudra Maharaj about this plan of the Lord, Pratap Rudra Maharaj just got up from his seat and he had actually genuine tears in his eyes. Tears, not because of his saying that I didn't get the mercy, but tears seeing the mercy that Ramananda Rai is receiving. He just caught hold of Ramananda Rai's hand and said, my dear Ramananda, you're so fortunate. I didn't get the mercy of the Lord, but you are getting it. So don't worry, just give up everything. Just go to Mahaprabhu, just serve him with your full heart and soul, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is my life and soul and you are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life and soul. I will ensure that you get full salary as pension, not some little provident fund here and there, full salary as pension, and you don't have to worry about your financial needs or your material needs. I'll just take care of everything. You just go and serve. So this is, again, if we just consider this for a moment, what a quality of Pratap Rudra Maharaj. Actually, generally speaking, when we are practicing Krishna consciousness after a certain period of time, then we start thinking that we have become senior and everybody should respect us for our consistency in spiritual practices and for the services that we are rendering, so many critical services we are doing and so many followers we are accumulating. So if we see someone else get some kind of special mercy, then the tendency is to become very envious and question, I'm doing so much. What is wrong with the Lord's department? How come, you know, is somebody watching or not? I'm doing so much, I'm not getting any mercy. But this person, he's just normally doing, I can't see him doing anything significant, but how come the Lord is giving him so much mercy? So this is what a Vaishnava is. A Vaishnava, we should not judge ourselves. Forget about judging others. We should not judge our own spiritual progress based on how many years we've been with associating with Prabhupada's devotees, or how many rounds we are chanting daily, how many times we have attended the morning program, and how many books we have read, how many shlokas we know. These are the internal qualities. We might be doing all the before mentioned things, but yet we may not develop this kind of quality that Pratap Rudra Maharaj has, about genuinely and happily appreciating the spiritual progress that our juniors or our compatriots, our contemporaries are making. So when Ramananda Rai narrates all this to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu, when he hears this, he's very happy. Yes, the king is serving you very nicely. So just because the king has served you very nicely, very soon, The Lord is going to bless him. Soon thereafter, there is Snan Yatra in Jagannath Puri, and after which Jagannath, as we all know, as part of his sweet pastimes, catches a cold. For 15 days, one can't take darshan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, feels a lot of separation from the Lord and moves to Alalnath. But at that time, the devotees come there and tell Mahaprabhu that, Mahaprabhu, around 200 devotees from Bengal are coming for the Rath Yatra, and they want to see you, they want to take your darshan. So Mahaprabhu is very happy, and Mahaprabhu decides to come back to Puri. So at that time, Mahaprabhu sends two devotees in advance to receive the devotees from Puri, from Bengal. They are Swarup Damodar and Govinda. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is discussing with Pratapudra Maharaj when Gopinath Acharya enters and tells both of them that there are around 200 Bengali Vaishnavas who are arriving, and I want to request the king to make some arrangements for their prasadam and their staying quarters. So when Pratapudra Maharaj hears, he is very eager, because he is thinking that these are the associates of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, whose association I want, and all these people have already got the wealth of the association of Mahaprabhu. So I want to see who they are, what are their qualities, so that I can follow in their footsteps. So he asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, can you please introduce them to me? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, I've been in Puri for a long time, so I've lost touch. Gopinath Acharya is in regular touch, so he can explain the devotees. So they go on the roof of the palace, and then they see the devotees being welcomed. So they see Swarup Damodar and Govinda approaching with two garlands going towards Advaita Acharya. Swarup Damodar garlands Advaita Acharya. So Pratapudra Maharaj asks, who is this? So Gopinath Acharya says, this is Swarup Damodar. He is a very close associate of the Lord. In fact, he is considered to be one of the expansions of the Lord. So he garlands Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya embraces. They are in ecstasy, tears falling out of the eyes. Then Govinda garlands Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya, seeing Govinda for the first time, Advaita Acharya asks Swarup Damodar, who is this nice person? So Swarup Damodar replies, this is Govinda. He is the servant of Ishwarapuri, and Ishwarapuri had instructed him to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's why he's staying here in Puri with Mahaprabhu, serving him. So Advaita Acharya embraces him. They are very happy. So at that time, Pratapudra Maharaj asks Gopinath Acharya, who is this very special person? He got two garlands. Both of them garlanded him. Who is this Varishth Vaishnav, senior devotee? So Gopinath Acharya says, actually, he is Advaita Acharya. He is a very, very senior person, very close to Mahaprabhu. And therefore, he is considered to be the topmost devotee among this group. Oh. Then Gopinath Acharya starts pointing out all the different devotees. Here is Haridas Thakur. Here is Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And here is Acharya Ratna. Here is Murari Gupta. Here is Sridhar Kulavech. Here is Buddhimanta Khan. All these wonderful, wonderful devotees. Vasudev Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh. So many devotees, 200 plus devotees. He's showing, pointing them out and describing the glories. And Pratapudra Maharaj asks a question. He says, there is something special about these devotees here. How come I am seeing a kind of a special effulgence emanating from him? What is the reason? And their kirtan. The kirtan, because Pratapudra Maharaj, being in Orissa, Orissan emperor, and Orissa is famous for kirtans, he is exposed to all kinds of kirtans. But this particular kirtan, it is so melodious, it is so touching to the heart. What is so special about this? So Gopinath Acharya says, Maharaj, this is Prem Sankirtan. This is not ordinary kirtan. So at that time, in the purport, Prabhupada explains how devotees, if we just follow the regulative principles, follow the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness properly, and have a sincere desire to please the Lord, that automatically, whatever we do, whatever we speak, whatever we sing kirtans, and whatever dramas that we do, that really captures the hearts of the people. And especially about dramas, he says that drama should be performed by devotees. Then it has got the most powerful effect. Of course, in our temple, sometimes non-devotees like me also get a chance to perform drama. But still, that is the mercy of the devotees. So after that, Mahaprabhu says, fine, all this is good, but how come all the scholars are still indifferent to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So Gopinath Acharya says, the scholars are indifferent to Mahaprabhu because you need a little mercy of the Lord to be able to understand the Lord's true position. And then he says, okay, how come all these devotees are directly running to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They are not even taking darshan of the Lord. They are not going to the Jagannath temple. So the devotees, so Gopinath Acharya explains that this is spontaneous love. They realize that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Jagannath. And because they have spontaneous love, they want to take darshan of the Lord first, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first. Then Prataprudra Maharaj asks a very, asks a question which probably we may find very relevant. He asks Gopinath Acharya that why is all the Mahaprasad going directly to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's place? So sometimes we may also feel, how come, where is the Mahaprasad? How come suddenly on the way from the DT room it disappeared? So similarly, Prataprudra Maharaj is also asking the same question. How come all the Mahaprasad is going to Lord Chaitanya's residence? So he explains that Lord Chaitanya had said that when the devotees come, they should be honoring the Lord's Mahaprasad as soon as they come. So in pursuance of this order, they all left. So then Prataprudra asked, but then they are not even washing themselves. In the dham, when you come, you're supposed to do some certain austerity, and they're just running to take Mahaprasad. So then Gopinath Acharya says, look, they are having a chance to get Mahaprasad directly from the hands of the Lord. So if you have the chance to get something directly from the hands of the Lord, who will want to miss that opportunity? And besides that, some months ago, I was actually sleeping in bed, and I, your spiritual master, he didn't say that, but obviously he's the spiritual master of Prataprudra. And he was saying that I was just sleeping in bed and Mahaprabhu came to my house and he gave Jagannath Mahaprasad. And I just got up from bed and just honored it immediately without washing. So he just gave his own example. So by hearing all this, Prataprudra Maharaj became very happy. And he decided that whatever facilities that the Lord wants, that should be given to him. But in the meantime, and all the devotees were very well taken care of, thanks to Prataprudra Maharaj's facilities that was given. But in the meantime, Prataprudra's eagerness continued. He was constantly beseeching Sarvam Bhattacharya. Once he wrote a letter saying that, I definitely will have to give up my life if you do not give me the mercy. So all the devotees had a meeting and they decided to approach the Lord. So Nityanand Prabhu was heading the meeting and they were not saying anything, and the Lord understood they had something in their mind. So he asked Nityanand Prabhu, so what is it? All of you are standing here, but you want to say something? Ask me, what do you want? So Nityanand Prabhu says, my Lord, this Prataprudra Maharaj, he really, really wants your darshan. And if you don't give your darshan, we don't know what he'll do. So Mahaprabhu becomes upset. He says, I don't know. All the people will chastise me if I do what you're saying. What to speak of other people, even devotees, Damodar Pandit, he's surely going to chastise me. So Damodar Pandit says, my Lord, you're independent. What can I say? You are free to do whatever you want. Who can actually stop you? The Nityanand Prabhu says, my Lord, this is like very serious. He is the king. And as we know in the material world, if we don't get something that we're really hankering for, the person might actually give up their life also. So this king is threatening, you know, of committing suicide. So, but at the same time, Nityanand Prabhu didn't want to push too much because he knows that if the Lord is upset, then there is no telling what he might do. So Nityanand Prabhu said that, fine, my Lord, why don't we do one thing? Why don't we just give a little upper cloth of yours as Mahaprasad to Prataprudra Maharaj, and he'll be a little pacified. So Mahaprabhu says, all of you are so learned, just do whatever you want. And the upper cloth of Mahaprabhu, little piece is given to Prataprudra Maharaj. Another time, Ramanand Rai, because Prataprudra was close to Ramanand Rai, said that, Ramanand Rai, please, I'm just begging you, just can I have darshan at least once? So Ramanand Rai, in the course of his, because it's explained, Krishnadas Kaviraj says that because Ramanand Rai is like a diplomat, because he was exposed to all these diplomatic matters, every time when he would meet Mahaprabhu, he would constantly kind of glorify Prataprudra Maharaj. And by hearing the glorification, Prataprudra's, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart became soft, started melting. So then he finally came to the point, Ramanand Rai said, Lord, he really, really wants a darshan. So he says, people will joke, Ramanand Rai, if I actually do this. So Ramanand Rai says, actually, my Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How dare anybody will say anything about your actions? So Mahaprabhu covers his ears and says, Vishnu, 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 I am an ordinary jiva. I don't have the power to take the reaction of whatever these activities that you're doing. So Ramanand Rai says, my Lord, you have delivered so many, you have come just for delivering. Why don't you just give him a little darshan? We are not saying just associate with him throughout, just one darshan. So Mahaprabhu says, just like there is a pot of milk, and even if there is a drop of liquor that falls and the whole liquor is spoiled, or if just like there is one black spot on a white cloth and the attention is focused on the black spot, similarly, if even a slight fault, if people see in people of the renounced order, that is magnified. But anyway, since you're saying so much, you can send his son to me, because the son is considered to be non-different from the father. So Prataprudra is very happy. He sends his son. Now, son of Prataprudra, he has a blackish complexion and he's dressed in yellow garments and he's got ornaments. And when Prataprudra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees the son, he's reminded of Krishna, embraces the son, and that son gets ecstatic symptoms. And from that day on, he becomes an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu. And when the son goes back, again, Prataprudra is not envious of his own son, saying, oh, you got so much mercy, I'm still here. No, when he embraced, he also felt, oh, the love of Mahaprabhu. So this is also a very interesting point, how just previously, the mercy of the Lord is so wonderful that previously that boy was an ordinary boy. But suddenly today, because the Lord has embraced him, he's got the mercy, he's considered to be an eternal associate of the Lord. So similarly, when we are interacting with different people, maybe devotees, non-devotees, of course, on one level, we have to interact with their present spiritual development, present spiritual consciousness, and try to elevate them. But at the same time, we should be very careful. But that all it takes was a slight mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for this person in front of me, whom I think is ordinary, to completely get transformed and become an eternal associate of the Lord. So soon there is this Rathyatra day comes, and as we all know, lakhs and lakhs of people are going for the Rathyatra, and it's so difficult to see, take darshan of the Lord from close. So Prataprudra Maharaj, because he is the Gajapati, he is the emperor, he makes arrangements for the Lord and all his 250-300 associates to take darshan of the Lord very closely, the Lord being carried by the Pandas to on top of the cart. And then the Rath Yatra starts, and the Lord divides the devotees into seven groups, and there is kirtan all over the place. And it is explained very beautifully that how when Mahaprabhu was dancing, there were three circles formed around Mahaprabhu to protect Mahaprabhu from the crowds. So the first circle was being managed by Balram himself, Lord Nityanand, power, source of all strength, Bala. Then the second circle was being managed by Govinda and Kashi Mishra. And the third circle, this is the one most wonderful thing, third circle was being managed by Prataprudra Maharaj himself and his entourage to prevent the crowd from interfering with Mahaprabhu's kirtan. So during the course of the kirtan, Prataprudra Maharaj had the hand on Harichandan, one of his ministers, and he was trying to just look at Mahaprabhu's kirtan. So in just right in front of Harichandan was standing Srivas Thakur, who was also relishing the Lord's kirtan. So Harichandan was telling Srivas Thakur, hey, Maharaj wants to see Prataprudra Maharaj. Get aside. He was just pushing him. And Srivas Thakur was totally absorbed in the mellows of transcendental ecstasy. Suddenly, and Harichandan kind of shoved him to a side, and Srivas Thakur somehow transcendently lost his cool, turned around and just slapped him. Now, this is like a very transcendental leela, just to try to understand this. Suppose, say during Janmashtami festival or Gaur Purnima festival, some big person comes to our temple, let's say the chief minister or a big MP or an MLA comes, and he's come with a police commissioner, and the person is, because there are crowds and devotees are very happily dancing, and the police commissioner is trying to make way for the chief minister taking darshan, and then he kind of tells one brahmachari, just go aside, or somebody, and the brahmachari just turns around and slaps him. Just trying to kind of relate it to our, you know, kind of a thing. We can imagine what kind of a, what do you call it, faux pas, what a big mistake that is. We'll become world famous, that's one thing, but, you know, it'll be in all newspapers and all that. But the point is that instead of, because if you are hitting my minister, that means you're directly insulting me, you can hit me, that is a kind of a thing. And Pratap Rudra Maharaj could have been rightly annoyed. But the moment he slapped and Harichandan was going to retaliate, because he's a minister, understand, he's a Kshatriya, hot-blooded man. So there is no telling what he can do. So the moment he was going to retaliate, Pratap Rudra just grabbed him and said, hey, you have just been touched by the eternal associate of the Lord. You should be grateful for this mercy. So it is not mentioned whether Harichandan actually, you know, became grateful, but he definitely did not retaliate. So there is, and so the point we are trying to make is there are so many things, Pratap Rudra's qualities are coming out slowly, gradually, that the Lord decided to show him a mercy, something which no ordinary person could see. And what is a mercy? Mercy was that Mahaprabhu, all the seven kirtan parties thought that Mahaprabhu is dancing only with us. He's decided to just give his association to us in this Rathyatra. But Pratap Rudra Maharaj could see two things. One, he could see that Mahaprabhu is simultaneously dancing in all seven kirtan parties. And second, which is equally relevant, is that this Mahaprabhu, this golden complexion Mahaprabhu, is completely non-different from black Jagannath on the Rath. So that kind of reciprocation also he was able to see. So he was discussing this immediately with the spiritual master, because, you know, I'm seeing this, what should I make of it? And at that time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood that, yes, even though the Lord is behaving like this externally, the king, you are getting a lot of mercy. So what happens when Mahaprabhu is dancing, suddenly at a point of time in his ecstasy, he just falls on top of Pratap Rudra Maharaj, and Pratap Rudra Maharaj just grabs him to prevent the Lord from falling down. And when the Lord looks at him and says, my God, what is this? This is terrible. I've been touched by a Vishayi. I've been touched by a materialistic man. What a tragedy. So Pratap Rudra Maharaj became a little despondent. The Lord, you know, I don't know why is the Lord behaving like this. But Sarvabhauma said, don't worry, that's like the Lord's external kind of consciousness. I mean, external thing he's showing. But see, he's already given you mercy. So just be grateful for that. And then towards the end, this is the grand finale. What happens is, when the Rath stops at a certain place where the devotees get up to make their offerings, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all the other devotees encourage Pratap Rudra Maharaj to go and approach the Lord in private, because the Lord is taking rest in one of the gardens close by, and says that you go dressed in ordinary clothes and you do the following things, you'll get the association of the Lord. So Pratap Rudra Maharaj is going, his life's all the desire, all the culmination of all his desires, you can imagine the kind of feeling he's having. On one hand, he's afraid that I don't know how the Lord is going to react if he finds out, but at the same time, he's so grateful that I don't deserve whatever the Lord, this opportunity I'm getting, but still let me go. So he goes there, he just sits down at the lotus feet of the Lord and starts massaging the Lord's lotus feet in a very expert way, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says. And when massaging, he starts singing the Gopi Geet. And he starts singing, and the Lord is relishing, because even at least, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the super soul sitting in the hearts of all the devotees. But still, the Lord acted like as if he didn't know what was happening, and he said, yes, go on singing, go on singing. So he sang all the verses, and he came to the 9th verse of the Gopi Geet, Tava Kathamritam. And when he heard this, then this was the culmination of Mahaprabhu's ecstasy. And Mahaprabhu just got up, just embraced Pratap Rudra Maharaj and said, Bhurida, Bhurida, you are so merciful, you are so magnanimous. Please, please tell me, who are you? Why have you come here? So this is like a loaded question. Because if Pratap Rudra Maharaj says that I am the emperor, so Mahaprabhu may actually destroy the whole universe in his anger. But Pratap Rudra spoke what came naturally to his heart. It was not like a very diplomatic effort. Okay, because this won't please the Lord, let me do this. Because it came out very, because the question of Mahaprabhu was not planned. It came out very spontaneously. And without even thinking, it's not mentioned that he took a pause or he thought or he contemplated. Because suddenly when this question is asked, what is your name? Shadbhuj Das. Generally, that is what your, naturally it comes out. So who are you? He was asked, and immediately, naturally, what came out was, I am the servant of the servant of the servant of your servants. So this was the internal quality that Pratap Rudra Maharaj was carrying. And because Mahaprabhu saw the genuineness of Pratap Rudra Maharaj, and before that in the Rath Yatra, Mahaprabhu had already noted Pratap Rudra Maharaj, even though he was a king, he gave up all his opulences, grabbed the golden broom, and was sweeping the streets in front of Jagannath, showing that and not only is he saying that, he is serving the Lord. He created so many facilities for the devotees to practice their Krishna consciousness. That means he was actually serving the devotees. And he didn't give up his determination, because within the core of his heart, Pratap Rudra Maharaj was feeling that actually, if you consider the poverty line of the heart, I am much, much, much below the poverty line of the heart. And all these external opulences that I have is of no use if Mahaprabhu does not give me the mercy. So Mahaprabhu, by not giving him the mercy for all this time, was actually intensifying Pratap Rudra Maharaj's desire to hanker more and more and more for the mercy. He was actually kind of pushing him down before the poverty line of the heart, below the poverty line of the heart, which made Pratap Rudra Maharaj more and more eager for a wealth of Krishna consciousness. And when he finally got it, after such a big struggle, he was very grateful. Similarly, in our life, when we see that the Lord is not reciprocating with us, we can actually keep this wonderful story of Pratap Rudra Maharaj's example in our hearts and understand that if we get anything cheaply, then we won't value it so much. So the Lord is keeping me away from the goal of full Krishna consciousness so that I can understand and appreciate its value, and when I finally get it, I'll be very grateful for it. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.